Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roundtable, coming to you live from Beijing. I'm your host, He Young. Good as always to have you join us on today's show. Today, we're covering everything about haircuts, where your local barber shop and your hair salon are no longer just about a quick trim. Discover how specialized services are transforming the way we pamper ourselves. And for those seeking a simple, budget-friendly haircut, what options are out there? Are haircuts getting way too expensive? And we're on a mission of starting your week with a motivational kick. Our Motivational Monday offerings will get you ready to tackle the week. For today's program, I'm joined by Li Yi and Brandon Yates in the studio. First on today's show, from cozy neighborhood barbershops to haute hair salons, the plain old haircut may have transformed into a style statement, with the beauty industry witnessing a surge in specialized services. Think of fashion-forward styling, luxurious beauty facials, and personalized scalp treatments as well. And in Chinese, that is 头皮护理, which is generating a lot in income for these institutions, and all conveniently housed under one roof where we get our hair done. As the sound of scissors snipping and clippers humming fills the air, consumers are feeling the pinch of an increasingly expensive hairdressing experience. So let's go to you, Li Yi. First, let's look at how expensive is a haircut these days?
Sure. Overall, there is like a common observation from the consumer side that the overall price of haircuts has become more expensive than ever. The data from some domestic review platforms shows that in first-tier cities here in China, like Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Shenzhen, the average hairdressing prices are much higher than those in other new first-tier cities or new emerging cities. Among the 19 cities surveyed, hairdressing prices range from a minimum of 33 yuan, that's about $4.5, to a maximum of 1,520 yuan, that's about $200.
For a haircut?
Yes,
for a haircut. That is insanity.
Yes, so that means that in these cities, you can simply get a haircut cost at least 33 yuan, not to mention some other complicated services like dyeing, perming, and hair extensions. And according to another report released by ChinaBaogao.com, in 2021, the average spending per customer at beauty and hair salons in medium-sized cities here in China reached 263 yuan per person. That's about $36. And by 2022, Shenzhen has emerged as the city with the highest hairdressing price among first-tier cities, with the average consumption price at the top 20 most popular hair salons reaching 775 yuan. For comparison, 5 years ago, most residents might have spent around 20 yuan for a haircut.
Right. So actually, looking at these numbers, there are some intricacies we can get into. But, you know, just off the bat, what do you think when you see these numbers?
I mean, I've had mixed reports. I mean, obviously, coming to China and having a haircut has been a different experience for me.
Why is that?
Well, because I think the way that, you know, I suppose when you look at men's haircuts and you look at Chinese men's hair versus like European men's hair, it looks very similar, but the actual texture is quite different. So the way that it needs to be cut is quite different. So I think a lot of barbers around this area, for example, I don't think they're that familiar with my sort of hair. Mm-hmm. So even if I ask for a specific style, it's quite difficult to cut it in the way that I would like it to turn out. So I had an experience like that where a young, I suppose, inexperienced barber was cutting my hair and it wasn't quite going the way that I thought it would. And then the owner kind of like jumped in and took, who was probably 20 years older than the hairdresser, and took over and managed to sort it out. But then that, I think my haircut became more expensive because the owner had taken over. So
yes,
what could have been 50, 60 yuan ended up being like 160 yuan. But I'm willing to pay more to get what I want. So maybe that's what's happening, is that people are willing to spend higher amounts of money to get the style that they want. But yeah, I've had mixed reports, because some of my, you know, male colleagues have said, wow, 160 yuan, that's crazy. I get my haircut for like 30, 40 yuan. So I think it depends on, you know, the style or the difficulty. There's various factors to consider.
Yes, and I would I would also like to join in that similar note. Years ago, when I was living in the UK, actually, I had the exact same sort of thought process. That was, it was difficult for me to find a hairdresser that could handle my Asian hair.
Because it looks so, like, when you just look at it without touching it, our hair looks almost identical. But the actual texture of European and Asian hair is really different.
It's really different.
Like, to the feel, it's really different.
Absolutely. And then the hairdresser couldn't really handle my hair properly. And also, I realized, as a Chinese person who didn't have a lot of field-specific lexis to use to describe how I want my hair to be done, it was almost mission impossible in trying to describe in English to that person how exactly I wanted my hair to be done.
Yeah.
And then also, I talked to some of my African-American friends, and then they also have this
and
real...
And that's also a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Like, it's a different... And they mentioned to me that in the U.S., actually, finding a hairdresser that knows your hair texture and style is actually quite difficult. So it's really interesting with, something that looks kind of trivial and maybe superficial to some extent at first glance. Actually, there's a lot to talk about. And also, you raised a really good point, Brandon, that for folks, including my dad and some of my male friends, who don't want to break the bank in having a haircut, actually, there are options out there.
Yeah, we do see some like cheaper options here in China. I mean, across the whole country, there are some super cheap hairdressers who are offering like super cheap menu set. For example, you can have a simply haircut for about 10 or 15 yuan, and of course the whole process is super easy.
I see that in my building where I get my grocery I get my groceries, like there's a lineup of men. I mean, there must be like 30-40 men that I see every single day going in for, and a variety of ages and, you know, that kind of thing.
So, Brandon, do you see them going into like a kind of fancy area? No. So
it's a tiny little barber. I mean, it's probably smaller than the studio that we're in.
Okay.
But there's normally one or two barbers, but the lineup is incredibly long because I think they get really effective, quick haircuts for very low prices. And I think a lot of the guys that are getting their haircuts in that situation don't require particularly complicated styles either.
They just want the same hairstyle.
Just
so basically,
trim,
you get your potatoes, tomatoes, and veggies, and then after that, you go get a haircut and off you go.
Same in South Africa too. I mean, there's a lot of examples where there's a variety of services that are affordable and efficient that are all kind of in one venue. And I think for guys, when we are kind of lazy and we don't have very specific requirements with our styling and, you know, things that we want to get done, that convenience factor and the low prices is very appealing. But that being said, as I've gotten older and I'm more concerned about, you know, my skin and potentially losing my hair and, you know, all of those things kind of become more of a concern as I get older, I'm willing to spend more and seek out better treatments for certain things. And I think that also might be linked to some of the financials that we've discussed and the amount of money that people are willing to spend on things like hair care treatments, skin treatments, etc.
Yeah, and also, you know, despite for the products or what kind of like haircut service you can get at this kind of hairdressers, I think people are also complaining about the service provided there. I mean, for those so-called quick cut shops, actually one of the most attractive thing is that it is being fast and efficient and you don't really have a lot of communication with hairdressers. And
I love
they don't really talk. Yeah,
oh,
that's exactly.
I hate a chatty hairdresser. Oh, I just want to like sit there and close my eyes and relax. I don't want to hear about like your cats or how your week's been. No, not
you
interested.
You see, there are some like special needs, like someone like you, Brandon.
But
you
then
know,
some people love it. They love chatting to their hairdressers.
Yes, and also there are some customers complaining about they're being, you know, over-serviced at, you know, a lot of hairdressers. Those hairdressers are always like trying to talk to you, try to sell their membership cards.
That's the most important thing.
That used to be a very, very common thing. But in this very quick cut shops, you don't really get that concerns. And also you mentioned about how people might be willing to pay for extra, you know, products or very, very good quality products. I think that's true, because here in China, when you're looking at those hairdressing relevant content on social media, you do see a lot of like KOLs or simply average users. They are saying something like, we want our like not only for hair care, but also scalp care, you mentioned. Basically, we want to look good. And beyond that, we also want to be healthy. We want to the whole thing to be really soothing and help us relax our mind and also good for our mental well-being.
Yeah, my biggest thing is like I'm concerned about my skin. Like I'm not concerned with aging, but I don't want to age. Like I don't want to look older than I am. And I'm, you know what I mean? And I'm also very concerned about like hair loss is my biggest fear. I'm like as soon as I go bald, that's the end of my single life. So I'm gonna try and do absolutely everything I can to make sure that I keep my hair for as long as possible. So whatever it costs, I'm willing to spend.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people, men and women. Feel yeah. And also just you know The Rock, Jason Statham, you know, just to offer
I'm not
a little
that manly
bit
of- I feel like the bald look wouldn't look great on me, but men like that are super muscly and you know super tall, I suppose it kind of works for them, but for me I think I would look like Lex Luthor. It wouldn't be a good look for me.
Who knows, in a few years time, well maybe you won't need it and then also
not.
You know build body building could
if I did go bald, I would invest in a really high quality wig. That's what I would do.
There are some really good options.
Yeah,
in China.
I've seen some amazing wigs on social media. Like it's crazy the advancements that have been made with wigs and also just with hair transplant technology as well.
Oh,
that's
yes,
also been
that too.
Incredible, yeah.
And also, I guess this presumed anxiety of hair loss is one of the reasons that drive people to enjoy and purchase a lot of these rather expensive skin spas as such. And also your scalp is basically, you know, the massive amount of skin that's just, you know, under the hair where it's grown. So there you go.
And that's exactly why we are seeing more young consumers here in China. They're, you know, more than willing to pay for very high-end hair care products or services, because here in China, you know, sadly, younger generation is also experiencing higher loss 20 years earlier than previous generations. And according to a white paper by Alibaba Health Information Technology Company in 2018, post-1990s generation accounted for 36%, while the post-1980s made up 38% of the hair shedding population.
Wow.
And also baldness is becoming increasingly common among university learners. So that's why we do see like a, you know, explainable consuming trend on JD.com. Sales of hair growing shampoos surged by 136% in the first quarter of 2018 year on year. And on another e-commerce giant, Taobao, hair products including vibrating hair brushes, herbal remedies, and even medication used for hair growth were among its top 40 best-selling lines. So that means over 40% of sales of which were made by consumers under 30 years old.
It's interesting that you mentioned university students there, because I also think that a lot of hair loss at a young age is linked to stress. And we've had a lot of discussions in the past where we've mentioned how much pressure some of these university students are under. So I'm not surprised that there's a trend that's increasing of university students that are suffering from hair loss, along with, I'm sure, plenty of other, you know, physical and mental health issues.
And yeah. Also when people start working, the pressure,
well,
for most
ends.
People,
yeah.
I think it doesn't really end. Yeah. And also the figures that you just mentioned, Li, were they mostly for these consumers to book the delivery and have it delivered to their home, or is this in salon on-premise consumption?
I think you know, for those like e-commerce platforms, they're simply buying those, you know, products and trying to maybe
and
do
that's
some
that's the cheaper
yes.
way to do it.
Yeah.
But also for some of us who are just really bad at handling these things ourselves, and then we're
you
like,
still need hairdressers help.
Yeah. And also they have these spa specialists who take care of your scalp and also your hair, and then this service is actually the more expensive, or actually the service that's bringing in the big bucks, because actually, you know, just hair cutting and these days dyeing your hair and styling, those things aren't really the new revenue stream. So for a lot of these hair salons, how to really rake in that much needed capital, or let's just say revenue, and then it's a lot of it is to, you know, they basically purchase these hair products at a pretty cheap price. We don't know how cheap it is. And then they sell it as, and the service alongside at a much more expensive rate. And that's how they make money.
Yes. And also on top of that, I think there is another tricky point here. That is, you know, customers are feeling pretty insecure about the products they're being given at those barbers' shops. Because here, I think consumers, they are increasingly awareness of, you know, the functionality and also the ingredients of the products they are using. And however, we do see some like complaints from the industry saying that they are not really, hairdressers, they are not really giving you the best products, although they are claiming to do so. So we do need some like transparency during the whole process, I guess.
Yeah. And also, this one is for you, Brandon. I mean, there's the saying, you get what you pay for. And that's often touted in the beauty industry. But is a haircut really worth its high price tag these days?
I mean, I think not necessarily a haircut. I think with regards to strictly a haircut, I think it has to do with the level of difficulty and how long it takes to actually make that haircut a reality. But I think people spending more money with regards to the other services that we mentioned, with regards to scalp health, you know, and all of the other treatments that you could potentially get, then I think spending more money there makes sense. And with regards to getting what you pay for, I also think that some of the responsibility should also be with the customers. I think if they are very concerned about the ingredients in certain products and, you know, whatever the barber or hair salon is suggesting to them, if they do enough research, then I think they can also prevent themselves from unknowingly taking on products that could potentially be harmful or not as impactful as they would hope to be, considering how much money they're spending. So it's good to be concerned about, you know, hair and scalp health. But if you are seriously concerned, maybe also consider doing some research before, you know, you go to your next hair salon appointment.
That's a good point. But often I feel as a consumer, you're kind of in a really vulnerable state in the sense that, okay, even if you've done some research, but you go in and it's either you're paying for it or not. If you don't like this, then just there's the door. You can leave.
And yeah, but I think that's to do with the styling. But I mean, with regards to products, because I think, like we've mentioned, a lot of these hair salons also make their money from marked up products. So I think if you want to be sure that the product you've been given or suggested is going to be good for you, then I think that's where research helps. But I think, yeah, with regards to offering prices for certain hair styles or, you know, treatments that go on in the actual salon, I think that's also just up to the customer. You know, the salon can say, this is what we're offering, this is the price, take it or leave it.
And also, you know, there is a, you know, unfortunate fact that here, you know, when I do research about, you know, hair cuts, especially how much time those barbers are spending for each haircut, they're saying that customers nowadays, they don't really have the patience to sit for 1 hour for a haircut. They want everything to be faster and faster, which also lead to those, you know, hairdressers, they are using simple and easier techniques to help you accomplish a haircut. So with that, I mean, with that situation, do customers, are customers still willing to pay for high prices for simple one haircut? I mean, people might just, you know, opt for like cheaper and easier option like the quick cut shops here.
Well, but if you're not satisfied with what you're getting, then you must invest more time, at least, you know, 10 more minutes for this person to cut your hair properly. And also, if you're always going to like different places, or if you're not really sort of sticking with one really good hairdresser, then yeah, every time is a gamble. But if you found someone that you think knows your style, does it well, and you trust their technique, especially their sense of aesthetics and beauty, then stick with that person. And then you would, you know, feel a little bit better, I suppose, in knowing what you're going to get. But also, you know, that person could be quite expensive.
Yeah, I think it's tricky for both the customer and the barber or the hair salon, because as a customer, obviously, you're not entirely sure that the salon is going to give you what you want. So I think it does require a certain amount of gambling or chance taking and, you know, doing some experimentation until you find something that works for you. And then from the barber side, I mean, you could spend 2 hours cutting someone's hair and expect to get a lot of money for a certain service that you provided. And if that customer's not happy and they refuse to pay, like, what do you do? So I think it's tricky on both ends for different reasons.
Well, if a hairdresser is willing to invest 2 hours on my head, I'll take it, because usually it's Faye
but
Wong who gets this kind of treatment.
But there are some people that will sit there for 2-3 hours and, you know, at the end say, I'm not happy with this, I'm not paying. Then, you know, what is a hair stylist supposed to do?
Yeah. I think that's exactly, you know, where those hair salons can grasp this opportunity. I mean, their techniques is one thing, their service is one thing. Those hairdressers are also trying to create this, you know, emotional value, provide this emotional value to your customers and try to create a special bond with your customers. I mean, in different ways. Mm-hmm. So maybe that could also be a way to create your customer loyalty. And then another, you know, interesting fact here is that we do see some like men's barbershops here in China. I mean, they are trying to target different audiences, although women are usually considered as the loyal or customers who are more willing to pay for higher prices of services in hairdressing
sector. Because they know they're getting what they want.
Yes. Yeah. But now, I mean, there are some shops or stores, they are targeting especially for men. They are not only offering like hair cutting, but also like how you do your, you know, facial cleansing, your grooming and everything. And they're also making the store's decoration more suitable for the taste of male consumers. That's also a very clever move.
Yeah, and I think men also value loyalty. I mean, for example, I mean, obviously there's always the language barrier when I go to a hair salon or whatever, but if someone does my hair right, even if it's a little bit more expensive than I would expect from other hair salons, I will keep going back. So, I mean, for example, the haircut that I get, which is very basic, is more expensive, almost double or triple what I would normally pay, for example, outside that small shop where I get my food. I'm willing to go back every 2 or 3 months because I know that I'm going to get what I want for what I pay for.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people feel.
Yeah.
And if they, you know, get the right haircut, they'll probably go back for more unless there's like a major price hike as such. And it's really interesting, as we're doing research, I realized that since the earlier part of last year, there's been this mega discussion on TikTok about how cutting your hair is so extremely expensive in the U.S. And it had a lot to do, apparently, this is according to the Washington Post, that there has been a decline in hairstylists during COVID. And then about 10% of the industry basically walked out. And therefore, you've got this glut of clientele, and then you've got not enough people who can cut the hair.
I mean, it's expensive in South Africa too. I mean, our currency is much weaker than the UN, for example. But I mean, when I compare the prices of haircuts in South Africa compared to China, on average, haircuts in China are much cheaper.
In comparison, but also you need to compare it with your own sort of price level and labor cost as such. But it is still sort of on a rising curve as we see the the hair cutting or hairdressing price has presented itself in this country. And also one more interesting, I suppose, observation, which is not necessarily new, but I wonder if you've seen any changes about this. That is, there doesn't seem to be all that many female hairdressers, despite the major clientele being women who are willing to pay a bit more for their hairstyling.
I do notice this trend because I still remember, you know, when I was small, most of my hairdressers were women.
Me too.
I think, yeah, but somehow in recent years, you don't really see a lot of women hairdressers in barbershops. And actually, I especially consult that question to my own hairdresser, which is a man. And I really ask him why there are fewer female hairdressers. He told me that it's because, first, this work is really labor demanding.
Yeah.
It can be quite tiring for
standing
women.
All day.
Yes, standing all day.
It's quite physical too, like the chopping and the, like, it takes quite a lot of work.
Yes, yes. And secondly, is that most women, they are, you know, entering like the skincare or cosmetic medicine industry,
that's
which
so
are
true.
Super, super popular here in China, which are also more lucrative than hairdressing industry sometimes.
That trend's definitely extended to South Africa too, where there's a lot more male hairdressers, and it seems like all of the women have got into skincare and nail painting and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and maybe in a way it's very gender-specific jobs for both genders in these two areas, which is really interesting. But I suppose the growing demand for better physical appearance services can reflect improved standards of living and changing societal values in our society. As the country develops economically, individuals often have more disposable income, which they can choose to spend on beauty and grooming services. And this is also reflecting some cultural attitude shifts, as well as just more emphasis on self-care and how we look, as well as how we feel.